topic today, I think the sound was somewhat misleading. So if you haven't figured out by now, by looking at the Marmar Kermis, what you might have thought the topic was and what it is might be two different things. The original title of the shir was, there's a concept called a Moser and a Locha, person who's an informer. When is that permitted? That was the original title of the shir. Some people decided that wasn't classy enough, whatever, so they made it Moshe Feinstein and the IRS. Most people thought the topic is about paying taxes. The topic really is a person allowed to take a job with the IRS as an accountant, etc., whereby he's going to be, part of his process will be finding mistakes in people's tax returns and pointing out that they owe money. The question, of course, is, there is a halacha of Moser, we'll try and look at that a little bit, what that halacha is. Does that preclude a person from being in that situation where he's going to be taking money or causing money to be taken from the Jew and given to the government? So the question is, is he responsible to pay for that, the damage that he caused? There's a halacha of paying in certain cases. B, is it permitted? And C, is there any difference between the government giving to the government as opposed to a case where some individual? Is there any difference between the government nowadays and the government to which the Mar was talking about? Those are the issues which need to be touched upon. And the Ramosha's Tshuva is on page 11 here in the packet. Well, I would like to try and do the Tshuva inside, but at least let's just run through the Gemara quickly, at least maybe outside, just go through the points of the Gemara to get the concept down.
Right. Would this also apply if you had a position, not necessarily with the IRS, you know, trying to collect money that way, but let's say you were working for a hospital and you were under accounts receivable to collect money from people that owed money or something?
It might be the same. It might be different. I mean, taxes itself is another topic exactly. The assumption in halacha is dinam achusat dinam, and it applies to taxes. That's a shach that applies to taxes. That the government has a right to charge taxes. That being so, it would be the same thing as the case of the hospital. You owe the hospital money. There's some person which raised the question, if the government is using the money for things which are against halacha, and part of my money is going towards the government supporting people who are, you know, encouraging, using my money to encourage people to do things which are avarious. So some of my money is going to that. That amount of money shouldn't go to taxes. The government has no right to force me to give money for that, halachically. Within Mechuzah, it wouldn't apply over there. So that's where it gets a little more complicated. But I'm assuming for now that the government is doing the right thing with the money. Let's assume that that's true. Yeah?
This seems to be dealing with the penalty, not the taxes. You deal stuff with that, the government's going to punish you more than he's chayav al-pidin Torah. But it's supposed to be assuming you can collect the taxes.
Right, I'm assuming that the taxes aren't the issue.
Well, the penalties.
Right, if the penalties are the issue, or there's penalties that could be jailing, there could be, you know, right. I'm assuming that's, you know, the money isn't the issue. Right, so there are cases where in halacha where if you ask him to pay more than he's supposed to according to halacha, that gets complicated. Okay, Samar says that there's a story with Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, where he was in a situation where a Jew was forced to, by non-Jews, they caught the Jew in the street and said, where does this Jew keep his money? And he pointed out where the Jew kept the money. And they came to Bezin afterwards, and I made him compensate the Jew for the damage that he caused him by showing Reuven was caught in the street by the Goyim. He was forced to say, okay, where does Shimon keep his money? Reuven pointed out where Shimon kept his money. So the Goyim took Shimon's money. Shimon takes Reuven to court, and he makes him pay. He makes him compensate for the situation. Reuven caused Shimon a loss by showing these Goyim where the money was kept. So Rava says in that situation, Rava disagrees with that, and Rava says that there's a brisa which says in that situation that he doesn't have to pay. But just by a case where he's forced to do it, he's under duress, A, and he doesn't actively play a role. He just points out where it is. He doesn't have to pay. If he actively gets involved in taking it, so he has to pay. If he shows it on his own volition without being forced to do it, he has to pay, he has to compensate. But in a case where he's under duress, A, and B, he doesn't actively play a role in the collection, of in the taking of it, the collecting of it, so in that situation, the halacha is he doesn't have to pay. The Gemara then creates a situation where first he's caught, again, Reuven's in the street, Shimon, the goyim come along, and they say, okay, where is Shimon's wine? The Gemara says, okay, so it was Mori Brent, Pichos' wine. And he tells them where it is. It's okay, Jew, carry it for us. So he carries it also. So the Gemara says, Ravash is in the case, is pot, doesn't have to pay. So I understand. He just told me if the Jew is involved in actively taking it, the Jew has to pay. Over here, he's actively carrying it. So Morris says an important concept that as soon as it was known to them where it is, as soon as they could get the money, the Jew's role in taking the money away from the other Jew is finished. It's gone. The money's gone. That point in time, the money is gone. Now they ask him to be a porter. He's a schlepper. Okay, schlepper, carry the wine. But his role over here wasn't to actively give over the wine. His role over here was just to help them transport it. But you're going to ask me. But he was the one who showed him where it was. Yeah, but that way I said before, showing where it is under duress, it doesn't have to pay. And that the Morris says that's an important case. However, the Morris says in a case where they couldn't get it without him. It was two sides of the river. They couldn't get it without him. So that situation, the law is he is going to be chayiv. So and the Jew's role becomes indispensable. Basically, the point of the Mor is if the Jew's role is if without him, it wouldn't happen because he showed out on his own. They weren't forcing him, right? Or he was actively involved in a situation where they couldn't get it otherwise. Either of those situations, so then the Jew is going to have to compensate the other Jew for what he did. If his role is not, his role is minimal, A, he might have showed him where it was, they wouldn't get it without him, but he didn't actively take a role in that. His role is minimal, so he doesn't have to compensate. A little more continues on in a case where a person can claim that if the money which was being collected was, he has a claim that it's his, Bezin can't force him to pay, etc. So here's the basic important point in the Gemara is, in a case where, without the Jew's role, it would happen anyway. Without the Jew's role, it would happen anyway. The more says the halacha is that you're going to be put. The Rashba, page 3, the Rashba takes it a little bit further. So the Rashba on page 3 says like this. The point which is underlined. Bansua lahavi behavior. They forced the Jew to bring it, and the Jew brought it. Shemarno the chayv. That situation, the Jew was chayv. So he's under pressure, but since he actively did it, nosim nosim b'yad has to pay. Hani milim oisim mamon enum b'makom shiyad ha'ana shalat this boy. That's in a place where the money wasn't in a place where the goy would be able to get it. Oisim mamon b'makom shiyad ha'ana shalat this boy. V'yachol l'chabetz v'limsoi. The goy could go search it out and get it. Potter. He doesn't have to, the Jew doesn't have to compensate for what he did. Even though he actively did it. Skip down. Well, attainment the potter dafka b'sharu ha'anis v'yachol lidloy. Even the goy did not. Don't say it's only the goy saw it already. The feel ainu roya kol sheyachol l'chapis olimsoi. Since he could seek it out and would find it, the law of the Jewish potter shrei yodah shall anis shall let this boy some malkum shusham. Right now, the anis is here. He can get the money. He can choose to seek it out. He can choose to search it out. It's available for the goy. So that's today. It's available for the goy, even though the goy didn't do that. The goy doesn't know where it is. And the Jew actively was the one who did give it to him. But since the goy could get it, could use his powers of whatever powers he had, control of the situation right now. He's in control of the city right now. He can do whatever he wants. Whether he did or he didn't doesn't make a difference.
Now, pater doesn't mean mutter.
Pater does not mean mutter. It does not mean mutter. It just means that he doesn't have to compensate for what he did. Right. So this Rashba, which maybe is not so clear in the Gemara, the Gemara's case where is that he already showed it to where it is. So the case of the Gemara, he already showed it to where it is, so he actually knows where it is. So more so that case, the Gemara says your pot, even though he actually gave it afterwards. But over here, the Goy doesn't know where it is yet. But since he, the Rosh is adding, but since the Goy could know where it is, and it's right now, it's in his control, and his written route to make that happen. So the fact that the Jew was the one who did it is also Patur. That's a big chiddush beyond this, what you saw in the Gemara. That's what the Rosh was adding, which is that's the logic. At the end of the day, the Jew's role is going to be minimal.
But the Goy knows there's money there. He just doesn't know where it is.
No.
Not necessarily?
If the situation comes and they come into town and the Yad says, shall let this place. They take over a city. This group of bandits comes and they take over the city. Right? So they're going from house to house. They're going to find everything. Right? But they figure, why should I waste my time? I'll ask the Jew to show me where it is. So they don't know where it is right now. They don't even know there's necessarily anything there. But they will, if they want to, they can find it. So the Rosh will hold that's enough to make the Jew part. Now, so the comes along the Magen Mishnah on page 5, and he codifies this Rosh Halacha L'maaseh. So just maybe this, I want to see the first few pieces over here in the Rambam. So on page 4. So Mersim Mamin Chaver B'yata Anus is Chayv L'Shalom in a Yafesh Ben Chosif. So, if Reuven gives over Shimon's money into the hands of the Anus of this person who has this power, who's collecting, taking money, so the Jew has to pay, and he has to pay from Yavesh Shimon Chosov, the best. I mean, it's referring to karka. If you pay with karka, you have to pay with top-notch karka. It's considered a full-fledged mazik, which the mazik pays with the best property that he has. Mace, if the Jew dies, government Yorshav Kishar Kalamazikim. It's a full-fledged responsibility. It's not a kanas. It's a full-fledged responsibility. What he's saying, which is a chiddush, because again, in some ways, it resembles a kanas. Now we'll see what I'm not going to get involved in the details of that. That's a different share. Ben Shoya Akum Anas Akum Ben Shoya Yisrael. I don't care whether it was a Jew or as a non-Jew. The person who's collecting it, he has no right to it. He has to compensate for everything which the Anas took. Even though he did not actively give it to him, he just pointed out where it is. Since he did it on his own, no pressure. He did it on his own. So the law is, so he has to pay. Base. But on his own, he did it. If he was forced to do it, or Yisrael, or even a Jew forced him to do it, honestly, a Jew is who has a group of thugs, and the Jewish thugs, you know, the harvest to show where it is, the heron, he showed them where it was, raise a pot to me, he doesn't have to pay. The Jew, this group of, you know, forced him. I think there's a book about the Jewish mobsters, right? Right? So Jewish mob, right? So they say, okay, where is it? Jewish mafia, where is it? So he shows them where it is. So he doesn't have to pay. If he gave it to them actively, even though it was under duress, chayv l'shalem. Hamatzol atzav moment chaverik chayv l'shalem. So the Rambam says important. It says, why is this? I mean, he was under duress. We're talking about under duress. It means, you know, that they're going to. It means physically they're going to damage him, or financially they're going to damage him. He says, you're right. I'm not necessarily saying it's also to do what you did. You're allowed to save yourself. If your life is threatened, you're allowed to save yourself. It doesn't mean you don't have to pay. There's Machlokes Rashi and Tosis. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama also, at the end of the sixth parak. Rashi learns that Pikuch Nefesh is not Nitcha because of Gezel. If the only way you can save your life is by stealing somebody else's money, you know, you have to give up your life not to steal somebody else's money. It's Rashi Shita in Baba Kama, and Nafsam Aleph it is. I'm a base. Tosis says that doesn't make any sense. What the Gemara means to say is that obviously you're allowed to do that to save your life, but you have to pay. We're not, you know, to save your life is saving your life. You still owe the guy money. It didn't make it that it's not somebody else's money that you owe the money. So Rama says, "Hamatzal atzav b'mamon chaver is chayv l'shalom." If you save yourself, whatever the duress might be, you're going to save yourself by using somebody else's money. It means the guy's willing to say, "Listen, if you don't show us where, we're going to take every single penny that you got." It's me or him. Let it be him, right? If we don't, we're going to beat you to a pulp, okay? I'd rather have my health than this guy's money. Maybe that's true, but it doesn't mean you have to pay for it. So you save yourself with somebody else's money.
Is this only if it's a Jewish mobster?
No, either it's even a Jewish mobster. Doesn't make a difference, you know, even Jewish ones.
The king said that he wants all of the wine in the town goes to him, all the straw in the town goes to him. So-and-so is hiding his wine. So the prohibition, the government says no wine, and so-and-so informs that so-and-so has wine, he has a still over there, he's making wine. So the Jew are informed for whatever reason, you know, so he has to pay. They caught the guy, said, you probably know what's going on. What's going on in the town over here? Tell us, otherwise you're in trouble. And he showed where it is. He informed them. The situation where he's done is forced to give it shim lo yira lo yakeyu yara lo yakeyu oyamiseyu. So Rama says even if they're going to the onus over here doesn't necessarily mean that life threatening. They're going to hit him. So they're going to they're which many person hold putting in jail has a equivalent of yakeyu because the situation in jail it's not necessarily life threatening. But there's deprivation there and danger there, and etc. So it has the equivalent of yakeyu.
Some societies, it's definitely life threatening.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, even it's no walk in the park to be sitting in a jail in the United States of America. There's plenty going on over there, which is not healthy for. That's equivalent to yakeyu. So Rama says yakeyu. That's enough to say you're potter. He was under duress, so he's potter. However, Nosan Moman Khaver Biyodim and Nosan La'anas, he picked it up and he gave it. Kayam Lashalmi Kumak, and he has to pay. Avisha Melech Onsulahab, it was the king's decree. But the Jew gave it, he has to pay. This halacha that he has to pay. Vishalayagim Moman the Rishosanis, that means it wasn't under their control to get it already. He forced the Jew to point to where it was. So the guy now knows where it is. Then he forced the Jew to carry it. Even this guy is the same guy who carried it. It's gone. As soon as the guy knows where it is, the government knows where it is, it's gone. Now they're making him be the schlepper. So that's basically codified in the Gemara. So it comes on the Magen Mishnah, and the Magen Mishnah says, he says, this halacha means, the Rambam says, if it's the Yad HaAnes is, once the guy is, the situation, he's in control, you don't have to pay. So he says, in Oysa Momin, the underlined in the Magen Mishnah on the top. The guy has control over it. I feel like in a ray, he doesn't know where it is. He could seek. So the Jew is potter. And he says, obviously, with the guy knows where it is. Maybe potter could be a rash bazal baker. So that's the rash, but he doesn't like the rash. So the Rashba is going to build on this point of the rashba, the Magen Mishnah, and the rashba, because the Ramah brings this rashba. Or the Magen Mishnah, that in case where it's accessible already to the government without the intervention of the Jew, so that situation, the Jew doesn't have to pay. Okay. Page 7, let's just do the one piece over here. It's a strong piece. And in the Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch, when he codifies the halacha, it's really a quote from the Rambam. It's based on the Gemara. Also, limbs of the Yisrael biyada akum. It's prohibited for a Jew to give over another Jew to the hands of the non-Jew. Bein begufay, whether it's the situation will be that now the second Jew will be taken and to some bodily harm. whether the Jew will only lose money. Even the person that you're informing on is a balavera. Even if, and this balavera was a person who was causing you tremendous damage. He was causing you pain. So he said, great, so I'll go tell, inform on the government and get rid of the guy. So I can't do that. That means what he says in this situation of the goy, the Rambam continues and says, this situation where the goy is bothering you, you can't inform on him, is he's bothering you. The Rambam, he's just, you know, irritating you. I mean, most right, if the goy is informing, if the other Jew is informing on you, mutal mosra, you can inform on him, the yuchal harga bedin, b'makom sheish chashash, shiach shabim serenu. You're allowed to stop a moiser, like the Mora says later on. You're allowed to stop a moiser, because the concern is the time of the Gemara. The person made the question: what's the status nowadays? Once the goyim have their eyes on the Jew, the government has their eyes on the Jew. They go after his money. They decided that he's hiding the money. They torture him. You're threatening a person's life. So you're allowed to stop that with whatever you need to do to stop that. So if I need, the only way I can stop that is by informing on him. I'm allowed to inform on him. I'm allowed to kill him if I need to stop him. Baruch Hashem, we live in the United States of America. I remember with one of my rebbeim, the Shevur Fur Shlema from Europe. He was under the communist rule for a period of time. Informers in the communist rule were life-threatening people. If somebody was informed upon that he was speculating in money, but they would send him to Siberia. That was basically a potential life sentence. Death sentence, better. So the psak over there was, if necessary, if the only way you can stop this guy from informing is by killing him, you ought to kill him. I don't care, even though he's Jewish. Because somebody's coming to kill you, you kill him first. It's the only way you can stop him. You can't do it any other way. If you can do it some other way, so then you can't, there's no heter, just because he informs on you, it's like revenge. I'll inform on him. That's not the point. The point is, I can use this as a way to prevent it if I have no other option. A person who does do this loses his portion in the world to come. So it's a pretty heavy topic. If you take a look at the last page, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal has a piece to actually explain this concept. Where does it come from? It's money. You gave the guy money, right? So, and look at Golem Haba. Ritzeach is Yeshul Chelik Golem Haba. So why is he worse than a Ritzeach? So he touches on that a little bit, because most of the Lachas is he writes Tefillin, it's Tefillin Apostle, his Shkita is Apostle, he gets it like a Goy. So what happened? He was giving away Jewish money. So what was the case? So he differentiates between a person who did it one time, or a person, this became his business. This he does an ongoing. See, he basically put himself outside of the pale of Klal Yisrael. He's functioning as a. He put himself outside of the pale, so Klal gave him a din of this person who doesn't have a status of a Jew. But that's. So, the way he understands the Moiser means not one time, but an ongoing basis.
Who's losing the Holomobah?
The one who's informing. Okay, now, on page 8, we basically, he has the pizza of the Rambam. It's a quote basically from the Rambam. In the Shulchan Aruch and Dalet, all the way to the last two lines of the Shulchan Aruch. If he's Nosna Mama Chaver, B'yodai Menosna Don, if he took it in his hand and he gave it to the Goy, Achayiv has to pay. Avisha HaMelech, even though the king forced him to do it. I'm skipping the case in the brackets. The Ramah. The Medrash Rambam Mishim onto Lahavi v'chayiv is only it didn't get to the hands of the goy. The ready. I will honest Yisrael atsheiro v'omer honest amalkim manasa b'shusay. Then the Ramah adds the Hanash Yuchel at least the goy can get it. Doesn't have it already. Goy could find it. That's good enough. And that's the Magen Mishnah. So the Ramah passes the Magen Mishnah lachol maisa. So comes along Rav Moshe, it's page 11, and Rav Moshe comes along, and so the question was, he wants to get a job of Roya Cheshbonos, accountant, etzelim shalot by the government. A person was negligent in his calculations. He'll find the mistake. It's like the person is giving the Jew to the government. He'll make him pay more than what he's responsible because the dinei Torah. If he does make him pay what he's mechuyev up b'dinei Torah, that's a sif later on in Shin Pei Ches, in sif Yud Beis. If what he's paying is what he's mechuyev to pay, he doesn't have to pay for it. He doesn't have to compensate for what he did. Didn't say it's mutar. He says he doesn't have to compensate. He said, but over here the question is going to make him pay more than that, which is really problematic. Hanachon is daiti. So Mershon says the following. Any accountant could find the mistake. Any bookkeeper could figure it out. Or it's a mistake in math, or it's a mistake in law, whatever it is, the accountant can figure it out. Somebody else will do it. It's not like, without him it won't happen. In other words, let's say theoretically, I'm a phenomenal expert in tax law, and what I'm going to catch, nobody else is going to catch. So that might be more of an issue. Right? Because you can't say, well, somebody else will do the job and do it just as good as me. No, it's the average issue which anybody would find the issue. I'm not making the person lose any more money by the fact that I have the job. Someone else will be there. But Zika Klum, but Hezek L'Shach Yisur. If there's no Hezek, what's the Yisur? If a dummy is Elohad Yisur Baba Kama Daf Kufiyat Zayin, the Dukmi Aluye Mikara Mikla Kalye. As soon as it's available for the government, so it's gone. The whom because Kavar Yodeo Anas of Yachal Litlu Baas, he can get it himself. Or Vayyadei Acherim through somebody else. Shepot Anasim Anasim Yad Lahanas. I'm part of I give it to him. He could get it. He could find it out. He could seek it out. So right now, the government doesn't know that there's a mistake in the taxes, but they could find it. They could check through the tax return, and they see the mistake. Right, the guy could come in with his books into the office. We do an audit, and the guy comes with his books. Anybody goes through the books will find the problem. They don't know the problem yet, but anybody goes through it will find it. That's called already. That's the situation of the Maga Mishnah. He doesn't have to pay. They asked him to bring his books. Leave the Ayinay Roya Cheshbonos to have an audit be done. They got it. Limsa Pshiyasu to get it. I get a call Roya Cheshbonos. Anybody's going to find it, not necessarily me. So therefore, I don't have to pay if I find it. But, next paragraph, Mashiach Lahayim, the Hosam Nemer Shansu, they force him to do it. That's when he's forced to do it, he doesn't have to pay. But who asked me to take the job? But Ulai, Kiyagaba Shalansu, nobody made me do this job. I applied for the job. Look, I want to get this job. So maybe that should be usur. Right? So maybe I should not be allowed to apply for the job because I'm then putting myself in a situation where I'm going to be the one who's going to offer to do the job. So that's like I'm offering to find the problems for the government. That's like the person is Harame Atzma. So maybe that should be usur. Says now, Rashi says even though the more said Herameyatzim, Nosim Nosim Biyad Herameyatzim is like Nosim Nosim Biyad without anointness, but Mikla Kalya applies even in the case of you didn't Meyatzim. If it's gone, it's gone. I don't care whether you offer it or not. If it's gone, it's gone. So the government has it already, as far as we're concerned. We said having means it's available. The fact that I offer to do it wouldn't make me pay.
Right? That's the Chiddush Rav Moshe says on that point. He says that I have no shaila, you're potter. Because the swerve of the Gemara, once it's in the hands of the government, you're potter. Hands of the government, meaning it's available to them. So whether I offered the position or they forced me to do the position doesn't make a difference. I'm still potter, but it doesn't make a mutter for me to do it. So maybe it should be also to do it. So Rav Moshe goes through the Rav Moshe's point is that if that would be my job, that would be my specific job was hired to go and seek out, my job is to go as a detective and seek out people which defraud the government. That's my job. Right? So that's one type of job. But that's not my job. You know, people make, you know, my job is to check people's taxes. Most people, it says, pay the taxes properly. Most people, you know, they you know, and if they find a mistake, it's something which is what they're supposed to pay, and then there's no kanas. You know, we see the situation was a mistake. We're not giving him penalties, etc. We're not asking him to pay more than he's supposed to pay. That's the average case. So if that's the majority of cases, my job is not something which is illegal, you know, halakhically illegal. So now that I'm in the job already, now what do I do when I find, you know, so get this fellow's name is Goldberg, right? Okay, that's all I need, right? So you know, the last 50 cases I've been dealing with, you know, with McMahon, you know, so he's not Jewish, maybe, right? We can go bust the Roy, you know, and the cases have been fine. All of a sudden, I see the Jewish one, I give out, you know, there's a mistake there. So what am I going to do now? That's my job. So now I'm in a situation where, again, I'm not damaging him. But maybe I'm not. Maybe I say, give up your job, and you're still not mutter to do it. So Moshe says, Moshe adds a final point over here based on the halacha in Siman Chav Ches. So what's Siman Chav Ches? Let's take a look at page 10. Im Akum Tevei Yisrael, a non-Jew is coming to make a claim against a Jew. Financial claim. V'yesh Yisrael Yodea Edus La'akum. And a Jew knows, he can testify for the non-Jew. Negi Yisrael against the Jew. Vein Ed Elohu, he's the only person who knows. V'akum Tevea Shoyoyed Loibet. And the goy says, I want you to come to court. V'mokum Shadini Yo'akum L'chai Momen Al Pi'ed Echot. And that court, one witness is enough to make a person pay. In the halacha, one in the Torah, one witness is not enough to make a person pay. You need two witnesses. So now I'm going to go to court and make him pay based on my testimony. He's going to be damaged more than he deserves to pay according to halacha. Because he'd go to Jewish court, he wouldn't have to pay. There's only one witness. He'd have to swear. He wouldn't have to pay. And now that I go to this non-Jewish court, I'm making him pay. So I'm damaging him beyond what he's supposed to pay according to the Torah. Also, Lord, I can't testify. If he did testify, we put him in care. We don't make him pay, because at the end of the day, I'm claiming that he would be paid. It's something you really owe. The money is owed either way. Just Bezin can't force it. So I'm not asking him to pay something which the ache is, listen, what he paid, he deserved to pay. What he could argue is, I shouldn't have done it. So we give him a punishment of care. We don't make him pay. I will enochayv l'shalim, the yachol omer, emes ha'aretzi. I testify the truth, so he really owed the money. So I didn't damage him. I didn't really damage him, so I have to pay for it. I did something wrong because I can't. The more is like this. Let's say I have a situation where, two Jews go into the Jewish court, and it makes the case easier. Two go into the Jewish court, and I know the situation that he really owes the money. I'm an eid echad, and the two litigants, the person who's making the claim, realize he only has one aide. But he's a resourceful guy. So he goes down to somebody down the street and says, you know, listen, I'll pay you to come to stand in court with this guy. Don't say a word. Just walk. I know you don't know anything. I just want you to come to court and stand together with my witness. Because if he sees the two of you, he's going to admit. You know, I have two witnesses. He's going to admit. No, that's not right, right? You know. So now I'm the aide, and I realize this is what's happening. Now halachically, I know he owes the money. I know. I saw him. I know he owes the money. But Bazin is going to use the situation of two supposed witnesses to force the case.
not the guy, not the fellow millionaire himself. The Bezim will use the two supposed witnesses, and I'm going to be one of those two supposed witnesses when really there's only one. I can't testify in that situation, the Mora says. Because at the end of the day, Bezim is going to do something which is not proper according to Halacha. He'll use two witnesses, supposed witnesses, when really there's only one. Even though I know that's the truth. So the Rambam said the same thing over here. We can't make you pay. You didn't damage him because you know he owes the money. On the other hand, you shouldn't be doing this. So we punish him in chayr.
I don't understand though. Why is this different from case in the Gemara where he's chayav to pay in a situation where otherwise the Goyim would not have been able to get the money for? Without his testimony, it wouldn't happen.
Without his testimony, it wouldn't happen. So, but that's the situation again. But what's dealing over here is something which, at the end of the day, really he owes.
Oh, the other cases were ones where it's an innocent person.
Right. Now comes along the
second witness.
I remember I don't remember the details of the case, but the point was it was going to work illegally, and we'd be able to get away with working illegally.
I don't understand why just the presence of a second individual immediately we can assume that he's going to admit to it, because the veracity of the Aiden have to first be determined. So just because you've got two Aiden present doesn't mean that the person is automatically going to say, oh, okay, you know, I'll spill the beans.
That's true. Yeah, again, I knew the situation. I knew how he's going to react. I know him. Right, so I'm playing on his fears, or I'm you're right. It doesn't have to be like that, but that was the situation. Now, if the arrangement was I let them the money in front of the Jew, so it means we set up that you're going to play the role of my witness when it comes to court. It wasn't like I happened to notice, and this was the arrangement. So the non-Jew lent the Jew money, relying on that he has this Jew there to back him up in court. All of us say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to testify. So, whoa, that's not fair. The law is yoyed lo. You testify for him.
What was that? What
did that
case where he should definitely testify?
Imitkila yichtoha akum li yisrael yoseid. The range was the chatkila, we set it up, that the Reuben comes over to the goy and asks him for a loan. He says, okay, I'll lend you the money, but I want a witness. He says, okay, no problem. He calls somebody else, you should be a witness. So that was an arrangement that was set up. That was set up originally. That was the original setup, that you're going to be a witness, which means, if any problems, I'm going to call upon you to do this. So that situation where that was the expectation of the goy originally, so look, you can testify. So Remersha holds that, Remersha takes this concept, when the government put you in this position, even though that wasn't your average scenario, where, because his head was based on the average scenario, you're not going to find anything which is illegal. But now that you're in the situation, that's part of your you have this concept that you're set up to be the witness. That's what the government appointed you for, is to be the witness. So once the government appointed me to be the witness, that's my job. And so even if I have to go to court and testify against him, you know, they take him to court on the situation, tax court. So they go, okay, bring in the accountant, let's see what he has to say. You know, I can go. So for sure, I can go to court in the situation, because that becomes my job.
Yechol Hashem, if people find out that this Jew
is covered, Jewish people, right? So Ramosha says you're allowed to take the job. And because the average case, that's not what the reality is. I like to believe that's true. I don't know whether that's true or not. The merchant's assumption that most people don't fudge on their taxes, and most people, when they bring in the ledgers, everything will be fine. That's the merchant's assumption. That's a nice assumption. I would like to believe it's true. So I'm allowed to take the job, and then once I'm in the situation, again, I'm not a mazik, he says, because what I'm finding, anybody can find. And in regards to the issue of the testimony, etc. So it's like Yichter is saying. Now it gets much more complicated with a situation where this wasn't his job. All right, so they come and they ask, they have a case against the owner, and they want the company accountant to testify against it. Right? That gets much more complicated. Right? You know, that's not Rav Moshe's heter. In our case, some person would say, you know, depending on the situation, it's mutter, the chil Hashem, but that's not Rav Moshe's case. Rav Moshe says, the chil, I was put there for this job, if it ever comes to it, yeah.
So Rav Moshe's heter may not apply if rogue people actually cheat on their taxes and aren't.
Penalties.
I mean, I'm saying, like, if I read it properly, the assumption is the whole way through there.
Yes, that's the Rav Moshe's heter was based on the fact that the majority of cases I will not be creating any problems.
So it doesn't apply in the scenario once that's no longer true, then.
Right, but I would like to believe it is true.
What if it's
I would like to believe it's true.
What if it's Rav Yehudim? Most of the tax returns you're inspecting are
you even if it's Rav Yehudim, Rav Moshe's point is that Rav people do basically what, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, Enron aside, right, you know, the average person, it's not a smart thing to do, you know. All Ganovim think they're not going to be caught. That's part of being a Ganov. You know, which Ganov says, I'm going to do anything with being caught. They're not going to be caught. But I understand that. That's true. But at the end of the day, most intelligent people say, you know, it's not worth it. They keep books properly. It's not worth it for them to play games. That's all they need. They need one audit and they're up the creek for the rest of their life. I mean, you know, the business is gone and they're in jail. So I think most people are not interested in playing games. You know, yes, they're finding something which nobody's going to know about. You're talking about a guy who has a private, his personal tax return. He, you know, he's tutoring somebody on the side. Whether they report it or not, I don't know. But there's no way you can force that, you prove that. The accountant cannot find that either. You know, I happen to know that, you know, we happen to have the same shul. I know that you have a tutor every morning. You know, like, you know, that's not the problem we're worried about. We're worried about the guy who's playing games with his books in the business. I don't think any intelligent people are going to do that. I'm telling you that a person should report the fact that he you know, he makes money by tutoring. He should be supposed to report it, you know. But, you know, it's self-employment, the tax, and income, you got to report it. But I don't think that's what Marcia's worried about. That's not the situation he's worried about. Yeah. Okay. So halacha lemaaseh, Rav Moshe says it's mutter to take the job, and once you're in the situation, you're allowed to do what you have to do. I do believe in a situation again where a person is a phenomenal expert in tax law, and he's going to catch things other people will not catch. It's not good to be so smart, you know. That'll be a situation where you might not shouldn't take that job, you know. Then you should take a job for private firms. You're going to make a lot more money. Yeah. And teach them how to avoid the tax. Okay. Have a good day. Sure. Have a good day.